Greenview Grasslands. Good morning and welcome. I see you tabled some material here. Are you happy just to read that out to us?
I'll be just reading that today, yes.
Yeah, that's great. Go ahead, yep.
So my name's Clark McKenzie. I'm the director of a company called Greenview Grasslands. I'm also here to represent my mother and father, Joy and Ross McKenzie. They run a company called Leicester Downs Limited. We farm sheep and beef and do dairy support with my wife, Fiona Young, on two properties in the Waimatuku and in the Aparima catchments. Our land is made up of central plains, glade, oxidising and riverine units, and we are part of a newly formed catchment group in the Waimatuku. I'd just like to touch on Fiona is a director of our company, and I'd like to declare that she also works for Environment Southland in the Land and Water Services Division, and in no way what I'm about to say today represents her professional views.
Yep. Thanks for clarifying that, that's good.
I also want to point out through kayaking, I'm good friends with Councillor Rodway, and I also work off farm as a part-time automation engineer for the Alliance Group. My parents started farming in southern Southland and moved to our Ōrauhuhu property 47 years ago. Over time, the farm's grown to 220 hectares, and we've added another 120 hectares at Fairfax in 2007. And I am a fourth generation Southland farmer. We are not opposed to the Water and Land Plan, and we support its intent, but we believe the environmental controls are needed so that future generations can enjoy what we enjoy. We believe parts of the plan are flawed. We expect the plan to be fair, and in our opinion, it is not. Today, I'd like to concentrate from my original submission on one section, which covered objective 2, objective 6, policy 16, and the associated rules 20, 21, and 22. Objective 2, I'm going to read it out because it's quite important to us, states that water and land is recognised as the enabler of economic, social, and cultural well-being of our region. And as I say, this is a very important concept for us, our family. And it connects the water and land to our family, our friends, our community, and our business. Moving on, thinking about objective 6 is also important to our farming operation. Objective six talked about the no reduction in water quality of fresh water. Objective six fits in with an old farming saying that we hold dear, passing the land on to the next generation better than what we found it. And then and later on in Objective 6, it talks of Section B, talks about actually improving water quality, and that has been degraded by human activities. In the Waimatuku catchment, we've been told that nitrates are the key problem for our water quality, and they are caused by human activities. I understand that because our soils, our tile drains, and our soil cracking in the summer, that our catchment has high nitrate levels and is considered to be degraded. So, and then I wonder, you know, how has this happened? Since 1990, there's been significant land use change in our catchment. The move away from sheep and beef and cropping farms to dairy. Today, over 50% of the Waimatuku catchment is dairying, 25% is sheep and beef, and pretty much 25% is cropping and other types of farming. In the 1980s, sheep and beef and cropping dominated farming in their catchment. The recognised farming practice of the day was to stock your farm in a way to feed through the most difficult period of the year. This was either during winter or in late spring when lands were at foot. No supplements were brought in, and very little nitrogen was used. And to a certain extent, we still farm like that today. We do. But today, our ewes are more fertile. We have better pastures and they are changing, and we can grow more food. And we need to grow our lands heavier in order to increase our profits. But to counter this, we are actually running less sheep than we did in the 1980s. And to a certain extent, the Southland Catchment Board and the government played a big part in this. The Wairamutuka River has been straightened and lowered more than once to allow drainage to be more effective so we can grow better pasture. We are intensive sheep farmers, and we farm alongside other intensive farming types who may generate more nitrate losses than we do. So we support Objective 6, but we do not think the plan manages existing farming types to ensure that they operate in a sustainable way that is suitable and appropriate for the land, and affords the opportunity of development and expansion that we and other farmers have had in the catchment, while ensuring degraded water quality is improved. The link between Objective 6 and Policy 16 is of deep concern to us. We think that Policy 16 will constrain our future ability to change our farming practice. It is not fair and equitable to allow existing farmers to continue in an unsustainable way while more sustainable operations are prevented from starting up. We want the new dairy farming section of Policy 16 deleted. We support the need to have a farm plan as part of Rule 20, and to Land Sustainability do an excellent job, and with actions that we can, over time, as part of a farming business plan, improve our soil and water on our farm. We have already had a focused farm plan in place from Carl on our two properties, and actions in that plan include the continuing fencing of our waterways, and we've already have a nutrient budget for our Aparima block, and we are currently working on one for our Wairamutuka block. And we also, through this process, have identified critical source areas that we're not cultivating. But we do not think Rules 21 and 22 are right. We think that Rule 21 is very much status quo farming. So what you get, if we have high nitrate levels before the plan, we expect nitrate levels not to improve after the plan. And Rule 22, especially in conjunction with Policy 16, stops me, my children, and other owners from changing our farm into a dairy farm. We oppose Rule 22, and we want the requirement for new dairy farms to get consent removed. We do not think Rule 21 sends the right signals to the community that change is required, particularly from farming operations that have relatively high nitrogen losses. And I mean, this, we may be talking about limit setting, but today is not about limit setting. And I don't want to come here without solutions. So in thinking about this quite a lot, I believe that a consent process to do with bringing food on farm should be considered, and we would also support a nitrate consent process. So to finish off, there's something else I'd like to touch on that we talked about in the original consent, in the original submission, is the implementation, and the implementation in the plan has not been discussed. We are worried about the costs associated with the plan. The timelines are unclear. There's no talk about enforcement or penalties. They're unclear. And the consent process is unclear. And we would like any time plans in the plan to be delayed until this information has become public and been discussed and approved. So to finish, I want to return to Objective 2. Again, very important to us. And the social cost of this plan are as large as any environmental or economic cost. This plan creates an unlevel playing field, and it is dividing our communities. And it doesn't need to be this way. We must address the problems that exist today so that we can all prosper in the future, no matter how we choose to use our land. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Let's see if we have questions for you. Lord, we'll start at your end of the table.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to go back to Rule 32 in your original submission. You have raised the issue of effluent storage, and especially in regard to underpasses. While you don't have one, you wanted to make sure that was catered for or allowed for.
Considering,
do you have any views on that?
Considering the layout out of our farm and where the underpass needs to be, we have major concerns about that rule, yes.
So you're
It's very close to a waterway, and I mean, we live on a flat, and when it rains a lot, the area is saturated and there's surface water, and the underpass literally would fill up, and it would be lower than the river next door to it, which would have serious concerns about how we would remove the water from it. And
so
what
whether
we could
it's the river or what others have found, it's actually groundwater levels rise, would flood the underpass. Many have actually put on a separate storage or spreading system. Is that what you're...
Where we would like an underpass, when it rains too much, the water, the river acts like a dam. Water flows down the river, it's going to flow through our underpass out to the river directly, and we have concerns about that, pretty much.
So what would you like us to do about that?
Because we don't have storage facilities, the whole idea of storage is new for us. There are limits around the meters away from a waterway, which would, you know, I'm struggling to, you know, I guess through pumping we could get rid of the water further away from the river, and again, comes down to the layout of a farm, but we have difficulties of what we'd do with the water once we stored it, where we would put it, and literally the 50 metres away from a waterway is a major limiting factor on our farm.
Moving on to Rule 23, you've made mention that you would like 15% land area.
Yes.
And that's enough for you, or is that enough for...
Well, getting back to Rule 23, I haven't talked about that today, but getting back to fairness, we don't think the plan as written is fair. In the draft plan that was submitted, that did have a percentage area, which we supported, and we were quite surprised to see it changed, but why should people that have a large area and crop on large farms be penalised when we're all putting winter crop in, and on our farm it's about 10%. So why should we not require a consent? Why should they require a consent? It's simply not that fair. And then in conjunction with, if you read through, Section 32 report and how it talks about the best bang for buck, really, you know, it kind of doesn't, I know, fit with our argument of fairness to penalise the farmers with large areas.
Thank you, Mr. Young.
You've indirectly cast a few aspersions about nitrogen on other forms of farming. Have you done any measurement with Overseer or Mitigator or any of those other measuring?
Again, I don't want to delve into that. Pretty much, I can understand what's happened on our farm. We've done through this process on our Fairfax crop. I was surprised about the level of loss on our Fairfax block, and it was completely dependent on soil type. That was quite surprising. And then you look, I don't want to comment on my neighbours.
No, okay, but you did what on your Fairfax block? How did you do?
I was surprised at the nitrate losses that we were because of our soil types.
So
on
was
that
property. Through Overseer, or how did you assess that?
Through Overseer.
Yeah.
But then I'm assuming, don't assume anything, I don't want to comment on my neighbours, but we're all farming on the same soil types in our area, and if we're having that, they also must be having that.
Right.
Okay. That's what I've assumed. I haven't.
But you did, my question was...
It's not public information, and I have no access to it.
You have measured your own performance, was my question, and the answer is yes, thank you for that.
Just in terms of policy 16,
yes.
Was your concern the wording in that policy about discouraging?
Strongly discouraging in conjunction with Rule 22 needing consent is very concerning for us, yes.
To convert?
To convert. Mm. So, yes.
But that the requirement for a consent to go convert to dairy farming must have been in for some time now.
Yes, to a certain extent, but...
Can
I add further to that? Because new dairy farming has been listing with more intensified dairy farming, and the two issues for us is completely different, and we don't see why they're linked. Rule 22 links them together with Policy 16.
So you're principally sheep?
We're principally sheep owners.
And winter grazing, how do you...
Again, we have about 10% of our farm on winter crop. We winter our own stock. We have a dairy heifer grazing unit, but those animals are with us for the whole year. I treat them as our own.
So how do you manage that? You know, what's your practices around mitigating any discharge to waterways or...
We've had the 3 metre rule from a waterway in place for some time. And this season through our farm plan, we've identified critical source areas, so we haven't cultivated them this season. So we're trying to do our best, yes.
So the farm focus plan has been helpful?
It's been very helpful.
Thank you.
And, excuse me, no, I have no further questions either. Thanks very much.